Yeah, morning everyone. So we're in the book of Galatians, which is just after Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians, and just before Ephesians. It's going to be up on the screen as well. I remember someone taught me a long time ago the sort of the acronym God's Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So if that's ever helpful for you for remembering the order of things, finding it, but it's going to be up on the screen as well. So let's just listen to God's word that is eternal. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, and to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I'm just going to pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, it is living, and it can speak to us today by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we just want to invite him to speak through your word now, Lord. We just pray that you would give us ears to hear, that you give us hearts that are soft, Lord. We pray that you would help us to love your word more, to cling to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you so much for David, who's going to speak to us. I thank you for the preparation he's put in this week, for the time he's had in your word. And I pray that as he speaks to us, you would fill him with your Holy Spirit. By his power, we would hear from you today and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dan. And so good to see you all today and welcome those watching online as well. Earlier this weekend, we as a family had a chance to go up to London and just sort of see a bit of the atmosphere and went in a kind of walking around Buckingham Palace. There were queues even to see the flowers. So we didn't quite join in that. We just were kind of walking around. And as we were walking, it was Laura said, oh, look, it's the Archbishop. And so I've been praying for the Archbishop as I was preparing for this message. I thought, well, if I'm finding, you know, it's weighing on me as I think about how to share from God's word to all of you and those watching online, I was thinking about for the Archbishop tomorrow at the state funeral, he's going to be trying to speak to heads of state from countries all across the world, to the royal family as they grieve, to a nation watching on television, young and old, and you know, those well off, those with nothing. You know, I was thinking, God, would you help this man? So I ran after him and just said, Archbishop. I didn't know whether he'd stop or not, but he did, and he smiled. I think he probably gets that a lot. And I thought, let me keep it brief. And I just said, I'm a pastor from Brighton, and I'm praying for you for Monday. And he said, thank you. And he moved on. But it was a precious little moment, because I am praying for him for Monday. For tomorrow. And I'd encourage you to pray for him, because it's an amazing opportunity for people all across our nation, those that you were thinking about just now as Becca talked about Alpha, people who might be hearing something of God's word. And I want to encourage you that as I was thinking and praying for this time now and for the Archbishop, I was thinking, you know, it's amazing because God's word is full of things that are relevant for people everywhere. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, that the Bible sort of is a kind of story. It's a story of good news for everyone, everywhere, no matter who you are. And one of the reasons it's kind of called the gospel or the good news, that's what the word gospel means, is because at its heart, it's a message of rescue, of freedom. It's a message that the God who made heaven and earth loves people. He loves Queens, and he loves everyone in the Queen's kind of domain. Everyone here in the UK and across the world. There is no one who's outside of God's love. And so we're going to be looking at this theme of freedom over the next few weeks in our autumn series. We're calling it a sort of freedom series. And we're going to look at key kind of themes like freedom through faith, freedom in Christ, freedom that comes and enables us to serve others in love. In fact, what we see in Galatians is that faith is expressed in love. And so one of the things we're going to look at in these weeks ahead is very relevant to our kind of cost of living crisis that we're in our nation. Because it's in Galatians that we have this amazing little phrase that Paul said, you know, he'd heard from the apostles that, like Peter, they'd said, remember the poor. Remember the poor, something that we're so keen to do as a church as well. In Galatians, we read that we're not to become weary in doing good. There's so much that we do as a church to help those in need in our city. Let us not become weary in doing good. We are free. We're free, as Galatians says, to serve in love. You know, for us as a church, our vision, which we were talking about last week as well, is that every generation would be raising the next generation to be free. And that's a kind of a word that is a kind of an acronym. It's our values as a church, following Jesus, reaching out to be an extended family and do everything in love. But it's kind of catchy too, because people in Brighton want to be free. But it's kind of gets you thinking, because the question is really, well, what is that freedom? You know, what is it freedom from? What is it freedom through? And what is it freedom for? And that is what this series in Galatians is going to help us think through, to be able to discern what is it freedom from, what is it freedom through, and what is it freedom for? So today and in this series, we're going to be looking at that, and we're going to be looking at it with the church in Galatia in mind. In fact, the church is in Galatia, because Galatia was a region in what is now modern-day Turkey, in the kind of middle section of Turkey there. It's a region that Paul, in his kind of second missionary journey, he traveled through. You can read about it in Acts 13 and 14, and encourage you to do that as he visits places like Iconium and Lystra and places like that. And Galatians is one of the earliest New Testament books. And in all the other letters, I thought, Dan, you did this really well. There's this kind of warm kind of opening, and then there's this kind of thankfulness for the people he's writing to and prayers for them. And in Galatians, you don't get that at all. In Galatians, as Dan read it, there's this kind of opening, and then it's like, okay, now we need to get down to business, because there's something here that urgently needs addressing. And the kind of tone is very kind of straight in there, right? Let's talk. We need to talk about something. It's one of those kind of letters, because something was happening in the churches in Galatia that was threatening their freedom. And so if you, like Becca was getting us to think this morning, if you think, yeah, I want freedom, I want to live in the freedom that God has for me, and sometimes maybe you feel like that freedom is being robbed or threatened, then this series, this talk today, is for you. So, let me start and ask the question, freedom from what? Freedom from what? You know, what's the problem that we need rescuing from? What do you think? You know, our culture would have a lot to say about things that we need rescuing from, things we need freedom from. In fact, our culture would say, you know what, one of the big problems is that we've had oppression. Some would even say the kind of the whole monarchy and institutions in our society are all part of that. And actually, when it comes to oppression, Paul would say, you know, yes, we need freedom from oppression. But Paul would then probe and he'd say, who do you think the oppressor is? Who do you think is the problem? Well, I wonder if we can look and zero in to help us in this chapter in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. And we're going to just spend some time in this kind of verse, really, and then we'll kind of spring out into other bits. But this is where we're really going to dwell. And this is what we read in Galatians 1, and I'll just pick it up in 3, but we'll focus on 4. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. What did he rescue us from? You got it. What does that mean? I bet you wouldn't have thought of that answer before you came in here today, would you? Oh, what do we need freedom from? What do we need freedom from? The present evil age. Okay, right. So how does that work? How can I explain that to my neighbor? Or, you know, what is that all about? Well, I found it really helpful this week. Hearing and reading some thoughts of different writers who've written on Galatians, and this is one of them, John Stott. He was a pastor in London for many years. Actually, at one stage was the Queen's chaplain, and now he's died and in glory. But this is what he writes in one of his great books. He said, "The Bible divides history into two ages: this age and the age to come." And it tells us, moreover, that the age to come has come already because Christ inaugurated it. He came in. The King has come. We've been singing it. And it's the kingdom of God is at hand because the King has come. So the age to come has come already because Christ inaugurated it, although the present age has not yet finally passed away. Are you with me? So the kind of two ages are overlapping. So the two ages are running their course in parallel. They overlap one another. And then he says this: Christian conversion means being rescued from the old age and being transferred into the new age, the age to come. And the Christian life is living in this age, the age to come. So what happens, this freedom, is we get taken out of the present evil age, this place and time where evil is not just something out there in Russia. You do know that, don't you? It's not just that there's evil in Russia. Or there in some other country that you think, should they come to the state funeral or not? You do know there's evil here in the UK. There's evil here. Because it lurks in our hearts. This is the problem. When we think about what do we need freedom from, what we need freedom from is actually from some of the problem that's inside of us, from ourselves. You know, the Queen put it so wonderfully, helpfully. I said this last week, and I just so relevant. I've got to say it again. This wonderful Queen whose life keeps speaking and impacting people even after her death. This is what she again said in 2011 on Christmas Day. She said this: although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving. What? Read it with me. Saving from ourselves. How right she was. Again, people don't often think that. What do we need freedom from? We need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. This is the evil or the sin that is at work in our lives. So God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior, a rescuer with the power to forgive. You see, because this problem of evil lurks in each one of our hearts, this present evil age. Yes, there is an evil one. The Bible says, in fact, the Bible says the whole world is under the control of the evil one, in the sense that the evil one is influencing every heart. But still, the saving is needed not just from his oppression, but from ourselves. We need saving from ourselves. Left to our own devices, we wreck our lives and we wreck the lives of others. When we think, oh, I'll just do what I want to do, it is actually not freedom. It leads to slavery because evil has us gripped. And so we need freedom. We need freedom to be brought out of the present evil age into this wonderful age. This age to come, this age where there's a new king that we've been singing about, brought into that age. So here's the question then. So how are we saved into that age? Where does that kind of freedom come through, if you like? Because if this is a problem that we need saving from ourselves, from maybe the wrong things we do, well, what's the solution? And this is, again, very relevant as we think about freedom through what? Kind of secondly, and this is the second thing I want us to think about this morning. Because in not just Galatia, but in our own lives and in the world today, this is very, very relevant because we actually all come up with different solutions to how to kind of, you know, how to find freedom, how to live free lives. In fact, probably the two most common patterns were there in the kind of ancient Rome and Galatia, just as they are today. They were the kind of things that have our roots in ourselves. So, you know, we love to be the savior. I love to be the savior. You know, we love to think we can somehow save ourselves. So what we try and do is we try self-effort or freedom through our own effort. And this might look like, for the people in Galatia, that they would try and keep the law. What had happened was that after Paul had been through the area, some people had come in and said, it's really great, you know, that gospel thing about freedom, but you also need to do this and this and this and this, and then you'll really be free. And, you know, we do that. We do slightly different things. We might not have it all about kosher food, although we might have it about healthy eating and making sure you go to the gym and making sure your kind of life looks good on kind of Instagram or social media so you can have a kind of impressive this and impressive that, because this is the way we show that we've really kind of arrived. We're free people. We can do what we want because we've kind of managed to make it work. Our self-effort and discipline and maybe even our morals are upstanding. We're maybe very tolerant people. We're good and we can think, well, that will bring us freedom. Very popular in the church and outside the church. Massive. It might be different rules or different things that you're working towards, but basically, the message we tell ourselves is we're free by what we do. Challenges. I don't know if you found this. Often we're never quite sure whether we've done enough. It always feels like there's someone else who maybe has done more, and there's always a risk that we won't be able to do that stuff tomorrow, to keep up the image. Because actually, we struggle. We end up getting enslaved to trying to do the very things that we think are going to bring us freedom. So sometimes we then go, well, freedom is not about self-effort, it's about self-assertion. If I can make sure that everyone knows that I am free because what I want to do, I will do. What I want to be, I will be. And no one else can say otherwise. No one else is in charge of David Trenier. I am free to do and say what I want. That sounds like freedom, doesn't it? What do I want? And the problem is, what happens if what I want is different from what they want? My neighbor or my boss at work or my colleague or my partner or my kids. What happens then? And so then I end up wrestling for my will against their will and struggling. And actually, I end up often getting enslaved to all kinds of other things because of this problem of evil in my heart. And I'm actually not as free, and I'm not at peace because I'm worried constantly that I might lose that, and I constantly feel like I'm in a battle. And so these two things of self-effort or self-assertion, they're not the way to freedom. That, Brian and Hove, if you're watching online, and I hope you are, and folks, as you share this message, those are not the ways to find freedom. Freedom comes through only one place, ultimate freedom, freedom out of this present evil age and into this glorious new age that lasts forever. And it is freedom through Jesus Christ and our faith in him. Look again, verse 3 and 4. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Who's the rescuer? Jesus Christ. He's the one who, back in verse 1 we read, Paul says, I'm an apostle sent not from men nor by man. And we'll see more next week about kind of Paul's kind of calling. But by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. This is the one we've been singing about. I believe in Jesus who was raised to life. I believe in the one who, verse 3, gives grace and peace like none other. This is the amazing peace that even again the Queen spoke about one Christmas time. She said this in 2014. For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life. You see, when you come to someone who you say, this person is the King of Kings, the Prince over all things, and you're in his kingdom, and he's the Prince of Peace, to be in his kingdom is to have peace. To go, oh, you've got it. Jesus, you've got it. You're working it all out. And so the Prince of Peace gives us peace. And then it goes on and it says in verse 4, who gave himself our sins. This is the Jesus who's this amazing King above all kings, and yet he dies for me and for you. He dies for our sins, for the wrong things we've done. It's not like he looks and goes, oh, that's a good person, so I'll die for them. No. He looks at us and goes, well, sin is rebellion against the king. So he looks at us and goes, oh, that one's rebelled against me, but I'll die for him, for David. He dies for our sins so that we can be free, free from this problem of sin, the penalty and Becca said at the start, the shame and the guilt and the slavery of sin, the power of sin over our lives is all defeated at the cross as Jesus, the rescuer, dies for you and I. It is the gospel. It's good news. This one who has rescued us from our sins and rescued us from this present evil age. And so the passage goes on, and Paul says, look, this is really important. And he talks in the next sort of verses 6 to 10, and I'm just going to very briefly touch on these. We don't have time to go in all of it, but I just want you to see that this Jesus who rescues us is not just kind of any Jesus. It's not like, oh yeah, you know, that Jesus who was a good moral teacher, or you know, that Jesus who you know, was kind of a myth of history. No, this is Jesus, the one who died and rose again, the one who brings rescue from the present evil age. And Paul says, that's the gospel, that's the good news that saves. And actually there can be other people who might come, even if Paul came back on his third or fourth or fifth missionary journey and said, actually, you know what, I've changed my mind. It actually, you do need to be a bit more self-effort and a bit more self-assertion, then you'll be free, one of those other. No, Paul says no. Even, what does he say? Even if we or an angel from heaven came and told you something different, don't listen to it. Because here's the thing, theology matters. Theology matters. We live in a world where one of the amazing things in our nation is there is this tolerance that means we try and show respect for people from whatever background, faith, belief. Absolutely. The Bible says show proper respect for everyone. Where it gets a bit muddled in our head is when we also say it doesn't matter what you believe because everything is right. Paul would say, don't do that. He would say, and he says it to the churches, he says, no, theology matters. It matters what you believe. And even in the church, people come and they try and twist the gospel. And that's happening in our nation at the moment. And we need to ourselves keep coming back and checking. And how do we know if it's a kind of true gospel or a false gospel? Well, this is one of the clear ways we know. You see, the thing about the true gospel is that it is a message that humbles man but exalts Christ. Because it demonstrates the depth of our need and the greatness of his rescue. But the reality is that we can hear a whole lot of messages that actually don't make it really key about Christ. They don't really emphasize how great our need is. They're just about maybe us doing good or us being a bit more kind of positive in our attitude. Both of those aren't going to bring freedom. And we need freedom. We need rescue. It is Jesus and him alone. What he has done on the cross and through his resurrection to die for my sins, to rescue us from the evil one who exists and bring us in to this present age. And so Paul says, I'm not messing around. I'm not trying to get your approval. This matters. I find myself remembering a film that is actually quite poignant. It's a film called The Day After Tomorrow. It's about, imagine there was such massive climate change. And just to warn you, if you watch the film, it probably isn't climate change like this. But climate change is really real. But this is quite kind of a one sort of take on it. But it is sobering because what happens is that these guys bring lots of warnings and people just don't listen to them. I mean, that is definitely happening. And what is also interesting about the film is that the dad who really knows what's going on, who's in the kind of scientist, great, I'm a scientist by background, so I love it when scientists are like the heroes in films. And the scientist says to his son, and he says his son's kind of stuck in New York near the Statue of Liberty, and he says, look, it's going to get really cold. Stay where you are. Don't leave. That's the only way you're going to be saved and come through this. And after the storm passes, the policeman who's in the library, you can't quite see it on this screen here, but on live stream, apparently you can see it really clearly. That's why we're keeping the photo for you. But the policeman and the son are there in the library, and the policeman starts saying, hey, look, it's calm down. I think we're going to be free by getting out of here, by just, you know, going for it. We can do this. And others are saying, yeah, we've been stuck in here for a while. Let's do it. Let's go. And so the policeman, person with authority, and the crowd, basically everyone, are saying, this is the way to freedom. So surely, if someone who like a policeman saying it, and most people are saying it, got to be right, yeah? No, you've seen the film. It's not right. Because just because everyone's saying it doesn't make it right. Just because an angel from heaven might come and say it doesn't make it right. You have to think, who do we trust? Who's telling the truth? And Paul says, he pleads with us, Holland Road Baptist Church, hold on to the gospel, the true gospel, the gospel that the first apostles preached, that him, an apostle, as you're going to hear more next week, heard from the risen Lord Jesus himself. That message, the message that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. That message, hold on to. That message, share. In that message and that message alone, there is freedom. There is a freedom that brings an amazing security. Because it's all about what Jesus has done. It's not based on our performance. One of the wonderful things I heard on my sabbatical was a bishop in Kenya who said this, Bishop Oscar Maruru. He leads Nairobi Chapel, now a network of churches. He said this, preaching on amazing grace, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He said, relax and enjoy your walk with God because your relationship with God is not based on your performance. Hey, that's good news, isn't it? Doesn't that suddenly start bringing a peace? Because even in church, we can get into the idea that it does. That's not the gospel. Gospel is that it's what Jesus has done. My relationship with God is based on Jesus and his performance. And guess what? He did great. He died and rose again. And he's the perfect son. Hallelujah. So it brings great security, but you know, also it brings deep, deep humility. I didn't deserve it. You don't deserve it. It's not like we're better than others because we've got a better message. No, we needed saving. We couldn't do it ourselves. The problem in my heart and your heart was way, way, way too deep for that. And so this amazing gospel, it brings freedom. It brings the peace that Paul talked about there in Galatians chapter 3. It's a freedom that we're going to explore more about in this whole series, that we're going to see more about, not just what is it freedom from and freedom through, but we're going to discover more about what it's freedom for. You know, one of the things when I say to people, our vision as a church is every generation raising the next generation to be free. I sometimes just say it's freedom not to live for ourselves, but to live for God and for others. And you know, that actually brings more joy and peace than anything else. When we live for God and live for others, when we live His way, when we experience that peace that comes from being able to relax and enjoy our walk with God because it's based on Him, but not kind of thinking, well, it doesn't matter then what I believe, because it does. That freedom that comes through faith in Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done. There is no one like Him. So brothers and sisters, I'm just wanting to find my place where I want to land. And it's simply this. Do you know that freedom that Christ can bring? Or even have you been, because you're in church, thinking, well, I need to do this and need to do that, and then Jesus will be pleased with me and I'll be rescued, and actually I don't feel I'm doing so well at that today? Or have you been thinking, maybe listening to some of what's going on in the world and thinking it's really about me asserting myself and just being the person I am, and maybe you need to just say, no, I'm coming back today. Jesus is all about you. Would you bring that refreshing to my soul as I remember it is all about you? You gave yourself for my sin. You have rescued me from this present evil age and brought me into your kingdom. You know, Paul writes, he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness in Colossians 1 and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's the wonderful kingdom we get to live in. The age to come, even now. And so I want to just invite the band to come back up, and I'm just going to pray that God would come by His Spirit and help us see Jesus more clearly. Help us put our trust in Him again and what He's done, that we might experience, even in our worship now, and we have a bit of an extended time to worship, a freedom and a peace that come only from Him. So let's bow our heads. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come, Spirit, and help us see Jesus. Sovereign King, the risen one, who gave Himself for our sin, for my sin. Our rescuer. Jesus, you're wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. I just want to echo that in your heart. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I needed your rescue, your help. Thank you for giving your life for me. To pay for my sin. Thank you that I can be right with you. my relationship with God, not based on my performance, but on Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the peace that comes from knowing you're my sovereign King. Fill me now with your peace. Help me live in the freedom you've won for me. Help us hold on to the good news that is in Jesus Christ.